We will begin today's meeting. Brothers and sisters, we thank the Lord. We have another opportunity to gather in the presence of the Lord. Before we begin, let's have a time to pray. Let's give this meeting into the hands of our Lord. If you are moved by the Holy Spirit, please do not quench the moving of the Spirit. Do lead us in a short prayer. We hope that more brothers and sisters can pray, that this meeting could be put into His hands. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank and praise you because of your unfailing love. We can gather before your throne of grace. We want to hear your word. We do pray that your Spirit would move among us so that our brother who shares and all of us who are listening, Lord, that we would follow your will, that every day we would live within your will, so that we may come to know your will. We sing hallelujah and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Yes, Lord, we do thank and praise you. Within time, Lord, you allow us to gather before your feet. We do pray that through the Holy Spirit that you would give us one heart, and together we would pursue and wait after you speaking to our hearts, so that through your word, once again, that you would reveal your will to us. And then once again, that you would touch us and gain us. And so that in you we would be a useful vessel in your hands. We thank you. You have begun this good work. You will accomplish it. And so together as we gather in your presence, we do together look towards you for your mercy and grace. We thank you. Do be with us. We place ourselves and all brothers and sisters before you. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, we do treasure this time that we can gather before you. We pray that you would continue to speak to us, and so that all shackles, all bondages will be set free. Lord, we do pray that you would speak to us through our brother and through every brother and sister who shares. Once again, touch our hearts so that the darkness within our hearts would be taken away. We could return. We pray this in your name. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Through your word and through this sharing and through our elderly brother, Lord, do speak to our hearts so that all of us, as we walk upon the right way, would be united as one, that we may grow up and mature. We thank you. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we do thank you with all our hearts. Lord, thank you for your love. You love all those whom you have redeemed through your precious blood. Lord, we do thank you. We pray that through your eternal love, give us a pair of ears that's willing to learn and hear, and a teachable heart, so that you, through your name, that in this gathering that you may be exalted. We thank you. In Jesus' most precious holy name we pray. Amen. Lord, as we come before you, we truly feel how much we need you, how we need you to draw us so that we may see your smiling face. This is the strength of our life. And Lord, these are the end times. We pray that you would show us grace and mercy so that we would not waste time that you have given to us, as well as the grace you have given to us. Speak to us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, Lord, we thank you for giving us such an opportunity. Lord, we thank you that as brothers and sisters, we can gather together and we could come to seek your face. Not only do we want to seek your face, but we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you that you have gathered us together in your presence. This is the time and chance for us to receive grace from you. We thank you that we may come to know your will. May you give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may come to truly know you. And together with brothers and sisters, speak to our hearts. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. As we gather together, Lord, we want to meet your presence. Thank you for giving us all the heavenly wisdom. Open up the eyes of our hearts. We ask for your presence to be with us. Open up our hearts and fill us, Lord. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, for all who seek, we will find. All we ask, we will gain. We ask for that which we need in our life. May we have a heart that fears you. May we fear you in these last days. Give us a heart that fears you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we thank you. Your heart is so desperate towards the church. In these dark times, you do desire to speak to us, so we reverently wait before your feet. Lord, if we seek you, we want to seek your will. Once again, do speak to us and do your work. And in these end times, while the night is so dark, allow us to live in your presence so that we may know how to move forward, so that we may know how to serve you, how we need you. Do take away all obstacles and pour out your spirit among your children. For this gathering, we do reverently place it in your hands. We praise you because you still speak and you still gather your own children. You gather your children to come into your presence as you gather us. Lord, we know that you will speak, so we wait for you. We wait and look for you. Thank you, Lord. May your will be accomplished. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear Lord, we pray that you would hold us with your hand of mercy. As the years change and as the days are more urgent, Lord, how we need your grace. We so desire to continue the testimony of the saints who have gone before us, that we would hold fast to this testimony and move forward. Lord, you know our weakness. You also know our inability, but we thank you. In the past generation, among those weak saints, you were able to do your glorious work. So in the same way, upon us who are weak, you are able to still do the same glorious work. Lord, as we come into your presence, how we desire that as the days go by, that in the Lord we would be gained more by you, so that you would show yourself abundant in us. in this very end time. Lord, we want to walk upon the will, your will, so that your heart may be satisfied. So, dear Lord, we do reverently place this meeting into your hands. We acknowledge that we have nothing, but we thank you as we come before you and your abundance. You are able to allow all brothers and sisters to abundantly receive. And so we place the following time into your gracious hands. Lord, we say we are here. Please speak. May your spirit move among us. So we place all things into your gracious hand. Thank you because you are Lord who loves us and you are willing to show us grace. We bow down before you. Hear our prayer. We give you all the worship. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. We thank the Lord. We again have this opportunity to gather before him. And just as how we've done it in the past, we will ask first our brothers and sisters in Minneapolis to lead us to memorize Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to memorize Ephesians chapter 4. For brothers and sisters in other locations, if you have memorized, do your best to follow along to memorize. For those who are elderly or other brothers and sisters, if you did not memorize, please do also open up the Bible and read it carefully. We will give the following time to our brothers and sisters in Minneapolis, and they will lead us in memory. Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. We thank the Lord. Our brothers and sisters have memorized very well. Brothers and sisters, we thank the Lord that there are brothers and sisters who still pay attention to God's word in these days when it is so dark and chaotic. We only need to come back to God's words in order for us to discern that which is right or wrong. Only in God's word can we find a way out. In the past age, there have been many periods of darkness. For the children of God to walk out of those environments, it has been through God's word. Through this little bit of effort, we hope that brothers and sisters can pay attention to God's word. Just like what it says in Ephesians 4, because there's so many different things that are being taught that influence thousands and thousands of people. Man's opinion and man's feelings, only when we come back to God's word, it is the only way out. So that we can come out of such a situation of confusion. In our life and service, we need to follow God's word. And together, I want to encourage brothers and sisters, after you memorize it, don't be just like a student. Now that you finish your homework, now you forget about it. No, brothers and sisters, this is but a beginning. I hope that after you have memorized, that in your daily life, when you have time to meditate, go over his words over and over. Allow his words to constantly remain in your thoughts. Sister Jessie Penn Lewis one time gave a very good illustration. She said that as Christians, what we are most afraid of is to have a blank mind. As long as you have a blank mind, you leave an opportunity for the enemy to attack you. And so we have lots of vain thoughts, distracted thoughts. We care about what we eat and drink, and lots of random distractions come in. What is best is to place God's word into our thoughts. Just like when you're grinding flour or grain, once you put the grain down, gradually in your thoughts, you grind it. And you press on top of it, and you digest it so that you could make it into flour. Brothers and sisters, not only do you need to memorize His word, but I do hope that in our daily lives, as long as you have an opportunity to repeatedly meditate on His words, we have heard some brothers who have shared with us that the oxen or the sheep, how are they cleansed? How are they clean animals? It is because they can regurgitate their food and constantly chew the cud. So we hope that in these end days, among brothers and sisters, that we may have some towards God's word would not only receive an abundant word, but have abundant understanding. I do hope that in these end times, that we would have more brothers and sisters can have a deep understanding of His word. So as we read His word and memorize His word, it is good, but even more so, we need to understand His word. We need His word to work in us as we pursue. Not only do we need to know His word and memorize His word, but we even more so encourage you that you follow the life and the teaching of the anointing. This is a very important matter. Not only have you read His word, but if you do not understand its thoughts, its teachings, but if you are able to follow the Holy Spirit and the anointing in your daily life, the Holy Spirit will allow His words to be worked out in you and allow it to become your experience. In this way, then these are the tracks of the train, the railroad tracks. You cannot lack it. We hope, brothers and sisters, that in these end days, while we still have a little bit of time, that we would be a useful vessel in God's hands. And then you can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and follow His testimony all the way to the very end. This is the purpose of our pursuit. Otherwise, then our pursuit will have value. May we mutually encourage one another. In these days, for those who have light from His word, there's not many among the servants of God. I do thank the Lord for His mercy that, yes, there are some brothers who are able to open up God's word and interpret it so that we are benefited. But in comparison to the previous generation or previous age, we fall short. For example, like during the Brethren movement, it was amazing. I have recently, or previously bought a book that talked about we could point out more than 100 some who were leaders in the church. All of them knew God's word, were very familiar with His word. These were brethren who had great light and revelation from the Lord. But among God's children today, we seem to lack this. Yes, we have hundreds of thousands of Christians, but those who truly know God's will, who are able to open up God's word, able to bring us light and provision, there are not many. And so I do hope among us, brothers and sisters, that whether you are elderly or middle-aged, particularly for the young ones, that in God's word, that you would expend some effort. I hope that with these words, that we would have mutual encouragement. This is not just for us individually. So I say again, not only do we need to diligently read God's word, but we need to also follow the Holy Spirit, particularly the leading of the Spirit. We gather once a month. I don't know until when. Perhaps we don't have that many more opportunities because we may need to end this meeting, but we do hope, brothers and sisters, grab a hold of the time. When His grace comes upon us, may we see that in this age, there will be some in the hands of God, there may be some useful vessels, that this may bring even more blessing to His church. So we're going to come back to our original points. that we're going to have some fellowship on following the teaching of the anointing. And so I'm willing to open up this beginning time. If in these past days, brothers and sisters, you have had some good experiences, don't withhold it. Share what you have learned with everyone. And I have said that following the anointing is in our daily life. This is something that happens in your daily life. Now, because we have many people, we cannot allow somebody to share for a long time with just 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes. What you have understood, what you have experienced, please share it with everyone. I do encourage brothers and sisters in all locations that all responsible brothers bring everyone to pursue this area. If you encourage this type of pursuit to be a more broader one, it is brought into the large gathering among all brothers and sisters, it will become a great blessing. We are not here just to pursue for a little bit and have it end here, but we do want to bring this thought to everyone, encourage all brothers and sisters in this way. And so now we will have some time. We will give this time to all brothers and sisters. If you have already prepared, you do not need to hesitate or wait. Please go ahead and share. I will give the time to all brothers and sisters. Hello, everyone. I am Sister Jiang Hong. I am in Minneapolis. I want to share about doing research at school and what the Lord has led me. Recently, I had a desire, because oftentimes on Saturday or Sunday during the church meeting, I do feel that His presence is very strong, but during my daily life, I am very far away from the Lord. I'm not as near and intimate with Him, even though other people do not know, but I myself know it. And so I had this desire. I said to Him, Lord, I have this feeling. I want to proactively and ask that in my daily life that You would be with me. So sometimes I would have this thought or idea that when I'm at school and I have to do research in the lab, it's very simple. When I have to do a protocol, I have to go step by step and do it. When I'm doing, one day, as I was doing this, I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to meet You in my daily life. Right now I'm doing this experiment, and in the past when I went through this, I just did this step by step, and then my day would pass. And I felt as if there was nothing that I could really experience You. And so at that moment, as I was doing the experiment, I said, today, look, Lord, I'm still doing an experiment. What can I have in terms of an experience with You? In this experiment, can You lead me? I'm still doing the experiment. And I just did everything according to the protocol and continued on. When I was almost done, I took my samples. I needed to go to another lab to run the samples. When I went to the other laboratory, when I was almost done, I realized that some tools that I had brought, I realized I didn't have enough. I counted my samples. I still had about 10 or so. And my small tools, I only had 3 left. It wasn't enough. And at this time, I looked around my environment and I saw that at a close by table, there was extra of those tools that I needed. So I thought to myself, perhaps I could take that person's tools. And I knew that the girl who usually worked there, I know her. And so I thought, perhaps I could go use it. I really wanted to go take it. I only had 3 or 4 tools left. And my thoughts were racing. I know this girl. And I know this thing is very, very cheap. Every time you order it, you get a lot. If I just use a few, it shouldn't be a problem at all. And the more I thought, if I were to run back to my own lab, I have to go back to a different floor, and then I have to take the stairs. I have to go back to my own lab. It's a long ways. And so, honestly speaking, I didn't want to move. And I had already started the experiment. If in the middle I had to go down, it might take up to 30-some minutes. And I have to save all my work, and then I have to restart. I thought it was such a hassle. And so I made this decision. I went to my classmate, and then I took her tools, I opened it up, and I used one. After I used one, I had no peace in my heart. That voice which accused me was very clear. It said, "It's better that I go back. Don't use other people's tools," even though I used one. So I put the box back. And I saved all of my work. And then I went back to my own laboratory to get the new tools and continue my own experiment. In this matter, to myself, it is an encouragement. Oftentimes I think in my research and in my work, it is the Lord's. But this time, because of what had happened, this little bit that had happened in terms of my desire and my prayer request before the Lord, He had heard it. Thank the Lord. Anyone else? Hello, brothers and sisters. I would also like to share. I am also a sister in Minneapolis. A little background. We have a 1.5-year-old daughter, and I am pregnant again. I want to share about this matter regarding purchasing something. At first, when I first became pregnant, I had a very poor appetite, particularly in the morning. It was more difficult. Even though I'm very, very hungry, but I have no appetite to eat anything. I didn't want to eat anything. I was trying to find something I could eat. I realized there was this breakfast bread that I'm able to eat, and so I went online to look. This is a freshly baked bread, but oftentimes I looked on many websites, and I couldn't purchase it. So I had no opportunity. So I sent an email that they would send me an email when they are restocked. Until a few weeks ago, one day, I was preparing to give my daughter a bath, and I realized I got an email. That bread was restocked. I called my husband. I asked him to go help wash my daughter, so that I had a very, very important thing to do, is to go purchase that bread. I put it into my shopping cart. Now, there's many varieties, and so I ordered 24. When at the checkout, in my heart, I had no peace. I thought, perhaps I bought too much, so I canceled some, and I counted. Okay, I'll get 18. When I was going to check out, I still had no peace. And so I canceled it and I selected some more. I struggled for so long. And then after my daughter had finished her bath, I had to go and help her so that she could go to sleep. And as I was thinking, how many would be most appropriate? What is a good amount that of bread I should buy? I had no peace, but I don't know why. The next day, it was Sunday. Here, it is from 12:30 to 1 o'clock. That day, after it concluded, I told my husband, let's go buy some groceries. And my husband said, let's save some money. Let's just go get Costco pizza. And so when he said that, the Holy Spirit reminded me this matter of buying the bread. Don't buy one. Don't buy this anymore. I thank the Lord. I obeyed the leading of the Spirit. I said, okay, I won't buy it. And then recently, because of my pregnancy, my body has changed a lot. And they said I need to watch out how much carbs, otherwise it would affect me or affect the child. And that bread, yes, it's very tasty. But if I bought that many, and then it would be bad for my health. In many things, I realize that He is leading me, particularly in purchasing things. I should not follow the lusts of my flesh, that I buy and do whatever I want. On one hand, yes, He is protecting me. So this is my sharing. Thank the Lord. Anyone else? I'm a sister in Seattle. In the morning devotion, we've been reading Psalms. And recently read Psalms 33, that we need to use our instruments to praise Jehovah. We need to sing unto Him, sing a new song to Him. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. I have told my husband that this new song is our experience with Him. And I was really moved. So I said, Lord, I want to sing a new song every day. And yes, every day we can sing a new song. In my job, there have been some hassles. Oftentimes, in the middle of the night, I would wake up. One day I woke up. I was thinking about the problems at work. And I realized I need to bring the Lord into my thoughts. And so I brought this into my thoughts. As I was thinking about it, I thought, no, I need to completely give this to the Lord. So it was so amazing. And all of a sudden, there was light, as if there was no thought of myself. And this was my new song. And every day I can sing a new song. Will I have a new song in the future? And then today, I realized I am a sinner. Yes, of course I have a new song to sing every day. And I was so full of joy. Thank the Lord. Hello, brothers and sisters. I am also a sister in Minneapolis. This small thing that happened in my daily life, last month, I lived together with two other sisters. Last month was one of the sisters' birthday, and school had already started. And in my heart, I was wondering if I could make a tiramisu for my roommate, who is also a sister. And after class, there was a store nearby, and I wanted to buy the ingredients. After I bought all the ingredients and I needed to buy eggs, I all of a sudden realized there's another sister has said to me that when you make tiramisu, you need to buy a particular egg, because in the process, you cannot use high heat to bake it. So you cannot use regular eggs. I did not know this. I always use regular eggs. But after living with that sister, I realized I cannot use that regular egg. Because if you eat it, you might have an upset stomach. But I was already at the store, and that store did not sell the pasteurized eggs. And so I hesitated. Should I buy this egg, or do I need to drive to a different store to go buy it? And because it was very late, and because school had started, I was lazy to go to another place. As I was hesitating, I thought, I'll just take the regular egg at home, bring it home, and I could talk about this with my other sister and use this. And my other thought was, perhaps after I get home, I'll make half of the egg, and if I make half of it, she can't give me a problem because I'm already halfway through making it, because I'm not using the pasteurized eggs. So I thought, well, no matter, I'm just going to buy this, and then I'll see. I'll see what happens. So I went home. As soon as I went home, my roommate, she was in the kitchen, she was in the living room, and I thought, I said to her, well, our other roommate's going to have a birthday, so I'm going to make a tiramisu with all these ingredients I just bought. And the very first thing she asked me was, what about the eggs? Did you buy it? That grocery store, they do not sell pasteurized eggs. Because I had already thought of this, I was not going to care about it. So I said to her, I'm going to pretend. As soon as she asked me, I'm going to say, oh, I forgot. And pretend as if I totally forgot about this issue that I needed pasteurized eggs. As if I accidentally bought that egg and brought it home. As I was debating this with her, I said, well, no matter. Even though everyone's going to eat it, I still needed to go because everyone was going to eat this. So that night, as I was taking a shower, there was this reminder in me. You acted like you didn't know. You pretended and lied to your roommate. Even though at the very beginning you didn't remember, but then when you were buying eggs, you thought of it. And then you acted as if you didn't know this. And so at that time, I said to the Lord, I knew I was wrong. At that time, I still didn't have any peace. The Lord told me I needed to go and speak clearly. The Lord wanted me to go and explain this matter. But then I thought, well, it's not necessary. She wasn't harmed by this. Why do I need to speak about this? It's not going to really affect her. Without paying attention to the voice of the Holy Spirit, I went to do my own things. A few days passed. At first, I was busy. I didn't really draw near to the Lord. I started to become farther and farther from Him. I wanted to come back to Him. When I came back to the Lord, I did confess all of my sins, all the ones I could remember. I wanted to be reconciled with Him. I thought that there wasn't any issue. I was quite happy. But that week on Sunday, during table meeting, I was praying, and all of a sudden, I thought of this matter, about how that day, this issue of the eggs, I had pretended and lied. And the Spirit told me I needed to clarify this. I still had that thought throughout communion meeting. And I still had the same thought that this is not necessary. Why do I need to speak of this matter? So I had another thought that reminded me. Oftentimes I speak whatever I want to say. This is something that I did not want to say. I should not have any other excuses. So I said, okay, Lord, help me. I do want to clarify this matter with my roommate. So that day after the table meeting, I went home and I spoke of this matter to my sister. And in my heart, I had peace. I thanked the Lord because in my daily life, I do have times when I avoid things or when I speak things I should not. And after I said it, yes, it did not greatly affect my roommate, but for my sake, the Lord wanted me to clarify this and not allow it be hidden. So I thank the Lord that I learned to obey. Thank the Lord. Are there any other brothers and sisters? Our brother in Houston, Brother Michael, about a month ago, less than a month. Now, my work recently is very, very busy. Every day I work until sometimes midnight or even after that, and we have 7 a.m. meetings. Because our co-workers are in India, and so our meetings are very busy. Last time I shared that there was a brother who had come from mainland China. He had been in prison for a year and a half, and the Lord used me to go and have fellowship with him, and he became saved. And so I had this moving that I needed to go and share with him about baptism. Because during spring break, he is to go to New York to go and take care of his visa problem. And he has to go meet with a lawyer over there who have experience. And so I had this in my heart to talk about baptism and in this matter to experience the Lord and also to ask him to meet together. But I've been so busy. But in me, I had this thought, so I should go. And yes, he came to agree after I did. And so I thank the Lord. Our brother's heart is prepared. And so recently, he was baptized in our home. And he now is at Manhattan. And after his visa is settled, he says, "Oh, it's so good. It's the gathering there has that sense of home." So we thank the Lord that in this matter, when I heard this, in following the teaching of the anointing, allowed our brother there, he's also experiencing the Lord himself. This is my sharing. Thank the Lord. Is there anyone else? How about one last person? Anyone would like to grab a hold of this opportunity? I would like to share. Now, in my job, I do take care of the elderly. I have experienced a lot. Now, taking care of the elderly is very difficult. And I do see that there's a lot of family problems as well as problems where the children, they do not understand me. When an elderly person passed away last year, the family member let me love and not be respected, I think. I'm not too sure. After I sang it a few times and I realized that God's light has shined into my heart. Lord Jesus, yes, I know that on the cross you suffered for me. You did not complain. You submitted before God. But that song, how can we attain to it? These words, we cannot attain to it. But after I sang it a few times, I felt, Lord, yes, I want to obey you. I want to learn of your likeness. If this song is to be my song, how do I obey you? So from this song, from the words. It really shone its light into my darkness. And in my work, I have not stopped in my work, but when I'm very busy, full of complaint, I bring out the song to sing. It has become a great encouragement and comfort for me. Particularly after his light has shone into my heart, the more difficult my work has become, my joy also increases. Because now I deeply feel that to obey is the way to blessing. When we follow the teaching of the anointing, we live in blessing, and we can remain in joy. Just as what is said in God's word, He is the source and fountainhead of joy. And in all things, when we are in His will, our joy comes from our heart, not through the circumstance or environment, the outward circumstance, or what other people add to us, but no, it comes from our heart. And that joy is like rivers of water coming from us. And so I'm very grateful. At first, I did not prepare, but this is a sound in my heart that tells me I need to share with everybody so that we may know how to truly experience the teaching of the anointing and how to experience His presence with us. I thank the Lord, and thank you everyone for hearing my sharing. Now, for the sake of time, perhaps there are some other brothers and sisters in your heart. You are also convicted to share, but I do apologize that we need to have some restraint on time. But you still have an opportunity in your local gathering, in your fellowship, that still you have an opportunity to share and give testimony. It's the same as sharing with everyone here. And I have said at the beginning, I hope, brothers and sisters, that you can take this and allow it to be even broader so that all brothers and sisters, everyone, can pay attention to the anointing within us and His teaching. We have heard many brothers and sisters in their sharing. In my heart, I am also greatly moved. Can you sense that our brothers and sisters, in all that they have done, is that they have done the supernatural, more than just what is moral here on earth, but it is past that. On the most small details of life, our brothers and sisters, they have expressed the preciousness, the treasure of our Lord Jesus. That oil is not for you just to do something good. Because behind it is something that other people cannot understand. It is the Holy Spirit within us who is leading us. The Spirit of God is truly great. In such a small matter of life, He is still working. It tells us, brothers and sisters, that God, His work in us, yes, is to make the royal virtue of His life into us. Yes, the matter is very small, but the obedience before God is so precious. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to understand the teaching of the anointing is not a small matter. In our daily lives, the more you follow the teaching of the anointing, the more you will receive the grace of God. And so in the aspects where man cannot see, even though they are so small, we do see the trueness of God, the trueness of our Lord. Even though it's not just doing something good, but it is the Holy Spirit putting the nature of Christ into us. This is a great matter. So today, brothers and sisters, we need to pay attention to this. And here, I want brothers and sisters to still share that this time as we pursue, there is this direction that we are going in, how we are to allow more of Christ to gain more of us. Let's open up to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. I do believe many of us have already memorized it, because this is Paul's experience. May his experience encourage us. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Here, it's not for him to lay hold of Christ, but he wants Christ to lay hold of me. Here, there's quite a few lay hold of. Here, Paul has a great realization, and he tells us, if today the Lord has not laid hold of us, then brothers and sisters, here, listen carefully. If the Lord has not laid hold of us, then we have not gained anything. Do not think you know a lot of the knowledge of Scripture. You have a lot of outward service and work. If the Lord has not laid hold of you and not laid hold of me, then we have not gained anything. We need to be very clear about this. If today, as we live on earth, we can say it very simply, that every day we want to lay hold of something and gain. Why do you study? So you can have a degree and good grades and good result. And then when you come out, you can have a good job and a good family and a good life. Every day we are pursuing after this so that we can gain this, gain that. The Lord has created us because we have such ambitions and dreams. Yet when God first created man, it was for us to gain more of what God wants us to gain, not just these outward things. So as Christians, we need to understand that anything outside of Christ is all emptiness. And so, if we have not laid hold of Christ and you have gained everything else, Paul himself tells us that that is but filth, but dung. Why would Paul have such a thought? It is because he has now come to know the preciousness of Christ. So we all know in the Old Testament, there is one called Ecclesiastes written by Solomon. In all the wisdom that he has gained on earth, all the riches and power and glory that he had on earth, it was good. He could enjoy, eat, and drink. Nobody could be compared with him. But brothers and sisters, after Solomon gained everything, at the very end, what was his conclusion? It's the vanity of vanities. Everything is but empty and in vain. And he tells us in Ecclesiastes, there's no benefit to gain everything. Forgive me for saying it this way, brothers and sisters. This needs to be a perspective all Christians need to have. As man, we think these things are so precious. But in these years, I have seen one by one, they have left. They have gone to the Lord. And when they leave, I realize they have so much money that they left behind. What good is it? They have eaten, they drank, they've enjoyed. But all your labor, what is the use of it? In our current condition, we often feel the more you have gained, the more hassle it gives you. It causes you to feel weary. Brothers and sisters, remember, this includes everything outside of Christ, even when it's spiritual work and labor. Don't think that this will cause God's heart to be satisfied. No, it can cause him to be frustrated as well. And so it tells us in Ecclesiastes, it's but a shadow. It was of no benefit. Now Solomon himself, after he has gone through into such a high realm of, this is his conclusion at the end. He says that there's nothing, no benefit at the end. Now, of course, today we do not have the experience of Solomon. But through his experience, God has already spoken to us. And so Paul, during his days, he has already set his mind and his will to say that only if I gain Christ, that is true gaining. So the book of Philippians, he tells us, I live is Christ, to die is gain. So brothers and sisters, I hope that the Lord can give us the same perspective, same seeing. Then, how can you gain more of Christ? This has to do with following the teaching of the anointing. And so in following the life of the anointing, honestly speaking, we are mutually gaining, laying hold of. You gain Christ, Christ gains you. It's a mutual gaining. This is what is important. Now, Paul in the book of Philippians tells us that he's speaking from his from the personal experience first. It doesn't matter what meeting you go to, or how good the meetings are, or how poor they are. What we pay attention to is your personal condition before the Lord. We need to have a strong ambition and desire that the Lord would gain and lay hold of us more. Now, measure from that first day we started talking about this. Has the Lord gained more of you? How do you measure? That means you are able to obey the teaching of the anointing more and more. This will show us that the Lord has gained more and more of you. Otherwise, how will you know what the standard of measurement is? How do you know that he has gained more of you? In the past, just like what our sister said, you would say whatever you want to say, but now, no, you have been taught by the anointing. And now the Lord has gained you. I have shared with brothers and sisters before. When I was a young man, I wanted to run the red light. Because I was disciplined by the Lord in running that red light through the teaching of the anointing all the way until today. 50 to 60 years have passed by. I dare say I have never intentionally run a red light. Sometimes it's not my mistake, it's the problem with the red light. So the light has been messed up a bit. Otherwise, I have feel that I have not once run a red light. This is a teaching of the anointing. It is so productive. It's not a matter of whether or not you run red lights, whether or not that's a great matter or not, but the Lord has put a very royal, noble character into you. So brothers and sisters, only the work of the Holy Spirit can allow you to be in Christ. And only the teaching of the anointing can allow Christ to be in us. And so we have heard in the past, Brother Andrew Murray, he has said, all the experiences of a Christian is encompassed in these two things. One, Christ in us, and the other is us being in Christ. How can you attain to that? You follow the leading and work of the Holy Spirit. And so in John 14, it tells us, if we are in Christ and Christ is in us, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so today you need to pay attention to the leading of the Spirit in your daily life. A lot of times we make mistakes because we have not followed the teaching of the anointing closely. We have become greedy. We have too many thoughts of our own. If you're not restrained by the Holy Spirit, you will make mistakes. We become impulsive. We say things we ought not to say. We do things we ought not to do. And it brings loss to us. If you have followed the teaching of the anointing, then you would not make such mistakes. It's so easy for us to make mistakes. In service, in daily life, we make so many mistakes. But we thank the Lord. From those years, I have learned to follow the teaching of the anointing. This teaching from my youth, yes, I still make mistakes, but I thank the Lord. I don't make big mistakes. I need to follow the teaching of the anointing. It's so important. In following the teaching of the anointing, The Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will bring you into true experience, and then His words will be opened up to you. Oh, now I know. In the past, the meaning of this word in the Bible is actually talking about this. Now, do you understand? If the Holy Spirit were not in you leading you, when you read this word 10 years ago versus 10 years now, it's still the same meaning. But through the work of the Holy Spirit, through His leading, now you come to realize these words, the meaning within it is so abundant. Brothers and sisters, when we first started, when we read God's word, you memorize His word, these are the first steps. They are important, but more importantly is the teaching of the anointing so that you can come to understand the Bible. That is what is precious. Once you follow the teaching of the anointing and you obey His leading, not only will you manifest righteousness and a good being lay hold of, but even more importantly, through the Holy Spirit, you gain Christ. Now we know that this is how our life changes. The amount of how much you have gained Christ is how much Christ comes from you. It's just like this formula. This is something that cannot change. A formula that cannot change. If you have not gained Christ, you can speak as much as you want. It's of no use. No matter how you emphasize it, it's of no use. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us we need to be transformed. We need to be transformed into His likeness. This original text is a replacement. Now, what Christ has brought in replaces that which is taken out. In our daily lives, other than the things that you need to do, you need to study, you need to work, you need to diligently do the things you need to do, you take care of the household as a wife or as a husband, you take care of your family, we realize what is most important is that you need to gain Christ. And through all these outward things, the Holy Spirit is leading us so that we can gain a hold of Christ more. This is the right path. So brothers and sisters, we know that our fallen nature is within us. It is a terrible condition. It causes people to be so greatly annoyed, and we cannot change it. How do you change it? You cannot use rules to change it. You cannot yell at it and you will change. Only when Christ comes in, then the old is taken away, then there is transformation. This is what the teaching of the anointing brings in. It is precious. And so John, in his latter years, the Lord has given him special grace. In 1 John, when he mentions of the teaching of the anointing, it is so precious. Now we have a way to live it. If apart from this, you have no way. Where is your way? How can you teach others to pursue? There's no way. And so this time, brothers and sisters, in this aspect, we have been re-emphasizing over and over and hoping that brothers and sisters would pay attention to this. Today, when you look at the church throughout the entire world, this is a lost truth. Not too many places or brothers and sisters would emphasize or talk about this. We want people to be zealous. We want them to work so that they would have many people and large gatherings. And we want to have a great atmosphere. We pay attention to great speaking and great preaching so that people are moved and convicted and shed tears or to have great joy. We think, is this success? No. Paul tells us, if you have not gained Christ, all of this is in vain. And so we do not have much time before the Lord returns. May He show us grace. You do not need to have gifts. You do not need to have eloquence or the ability to do this or do that. But remember, the anointing is within you. As long as you obey the teaching of the anointing, then in spiritual things you will gain. And one day, when the Lord really returns, it is very possible that some regular people or small brothers and small sisters around us, they have been praised by the Lord. And some who have great names, they have not gained a thing. Or what they have gained is very limited. This is a very important reminder. And so here, I want to refresh the matter that we have mentioned from the very beginning. This is a very important goal. We must allow the Lord to gain more, lay hold of more of us. Put this as most important in your personal life. If he has not gained you, then everything else is in vain. To me, this is very important. I need to remind myself of this often. Lord, if you have not gained me, all these things I have done outwardly, it's all empty. It's all in vain. And so here, I want to re-emphasize this fellowship. Now, if the Lord allows, next time, as we continue on, grab a hold of the opportunity. The experiences you have experienced, share it with everyone. Not only share it, but mutually encourage one another. I thank the Lord. Quite a few brothers and sisters shared today. It is so wonderful. Very good. It's very practical. The anointing is very, very practical. And so John tells us, you don't need anyone to teach you. The anointing teaches you in all things. We see, is this a teaching of man? No, it is the Spirit inside of us teaching us. We thank the Lord for his grace. Now, in this encouragement, I hope that the gatherings in all locations, that together with many brothers and sisters, as we gather together, do place this as a very important matter. Because this is a true pursuit of the Lord. Many people say that this is a true weapon. It's not a worthless weapon, a weapon of a reed, but it is a true weapon. If you do not learn it well, it will be of great loss to us. Now, there is still some time. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians now. I have said before that in the New Testament, the book of Colossians and Ephesians, these two books particularly emphasize the mystery of God, as well as the focus of the mystery of God. In all of God's work comes out from this. And so these two books is so important. I hope also through the book of Ephesians, the main points from it, I do want to bring it to brothers and sisters and have some fellowship with you on it. I do hope that through his mercy, that he would open up the book of Ephesians to us and show us his mystery. I have said it before, Colossians talks about the mystery of God is Christ. And here I do want to mention, because among the children of God, throughout church history, it's the same. Many Christians, they like to pursue after some mystical things or superstitious things. They think that if you pursue after these things, then it could manifest more of their richness in their experiences. Many Christians today, they also like to talk about these supernatural experiences. Yes, indeed, the work of God is mysterious. However, God has set this principle that the mystery of God is Christ. Now, Christ is the true mystery of God. And so all that is outside of Christ, please remember, all that is said outside of Christ, those supernatural experiences, the experiences of God's mystery, are just the religious mysticism that have nothing to do with our Lord. We need to have discernment. because. Sometimes you will hear people speak of some things. Oh, wow, it seems supernatural. Those are things of religion, because today there are many religions that talk about these supernatural things or superstitious things. But from what we understand in God's Word, the mystery of God is Christ. This is a discernment. Later, if you hear somebody talk of something that seems so supernatural, if it is of Christ, then yes, that is a natural, normal Christian experience. If it has nothing to do with Christ, then those things is just religion. Now, do you know that the mystery of religion, when you speak of it, it seems like it's something small, but its influence is great. Today, in all of the world, among hundreds of thousands of people, they live in such a supernatural influence. From all religions and teachings, they like to talk about this. Do you know thousands of people, tens of thousands of people follow this type of thing? We need to be careful. Now, from the 5th century of the church, when walking upon this condition of the Catholic Church, there are so many of these superstitious, supernatural things all the way till today. There are so many such things. We know that these things are not only in the Catholic Church, but also in Christianity. Even in the Reformed Church, it's the same. But Paul, in the book of Colossians, has given us a very, very clear principle and a clear line that says Christ is a mystery of God. Anything outside of Christ is but religion. Those are things that we should not believe in. In these end days, the book of Revelation tells us that the work of evil spirits and unclean spirits will be so abundant. If you read Revelation, you will sense that the entire host of the enemy's armies will be brought up. We already can sense it, that in this age, evil things are increasing and increasing. We know that the enemy, at the very end, he is directly opposing God and his church. We thank the Lord. The Lord has not caused us to struggle and given us problems. He has told us very clearly that God's mystery is Christ. And at this time here, regarding this mystery, I do want to have a little more fellowship with brothers and sisters. We know in Ephesians, in Colossians, it says that the mystery of God is Christ. But when we come to Ephesians, now he speaks of the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel is the building up of the body of Christ. This, in God's work, is the most important thing. And so today, we ask brothers and sisters, let's go back to the book of Ephesians. Let's go back into its text. And let's have a fellowship on it, on some main points. I have said already, I'm not here to interpret scripture, because if we are to do that, the light is too great. If we are to finish the book of Ephesians, it's very difficult. Don't laugh at me here. But when I told the saints in China, I said, if you like to interpret scripture, if you want me to speak on Ephesians, you need to give me at least 18 times. They said, okay. I said, no, I can't right now. I don't have that much energy and strength to give you 18 messages to share on the book of Ephesians. But I'm not here to interpret scripture. We're here to just pull out the main points that have to do with the mystery of God and share this with brothers and sisters. And I think that's good. Let's read some verses together. Let's open up to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Let's read from verse 4 to 14. These are very important verses. From verse 3 to 14. Let's read it quickly. Together, let's open up our Bible. Doesn't matter what language. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Now, let's read verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We see here, brothers and sisters, that in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul has brought us into a great mystery. We know that throughout the entire Bible, it is revealing two things. What is it revealing? First, it is revealing God himself. The Bible is revealing himself to us. This is a great revelation. Secondly, it is revealing God's will. The entire Bible is actually just revealing these two things. One, it is God himself. The other is revealing God's will. Now, in the book of Ephesians, Paul has taken this thought and summed it up in this chapter. At the beginning, from verse 3 to 14, here it is revealing God himself, as well as God's own work. We know that in the entire universe, God himself is already a great mystery. And what is revealed through the scripture is very difficult for us to fully understand, and it's not possible for us to possibly understand, because he is a triune God. This is beyond what man's mind can understand. This is something within the very person of God. How can he be three and one at the same time? One and three at the same time. In church history, many people try to explain this. Brothers and sisters, we need to have this simple understanding that he is a mystery. Mystery means man's natural mind cannot understand it. So it's better not to try to explain it or interpret it. Many people in the past have tried to explain to a point where it's become heresy. This is how heretical teachings have come about, and these are terrible. In Ephesians chapter 1, he at the very beginning tells us that our God, he is one, and yet there is the Father, Son, and Spirit. And this is something that is different in his person. It is a great mystery. I have heard many people talk about this topic. They use water, they use ice and all these different natural things, physical things to try to explain him. Just allow him to be a mystery. He is a triune God and three expressions of who he is. We just use revelation of God. Even Paul himself did not explain this. Other apostles also did not explain it. So do not be tempted. Because this is a great temptation that you want to touch this matter to try to explain it clearly. No, we cannot. I have read many books tried to, they could not. And at the end, they acknowledge this is one and three and three and one. In all Christianity today, we love to talk about one and three. But this one in three, a lot of people, we do realize that this is a heretical teaching. And we need to know that this is a mystery. The Bible has not explicitly revealed this. It has not revealed and spoken of this, so do not be curious. One day before the Lord, we will know. Today on earth, we do not need to expend effort on this matter. We know that just in the book of Ephesians, in God's work, it does seem as if God has been split up into these three persons. This is what we see in Ephesians 1. This in and of itself is a great mystery. And another matter, God, in his work, in his plan, he wants to build up the church to be the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is also a great mystery. The church, in and of itself, is a great mystery. And so, when we call Ephesians chapter 1, when we talk about Christians, these are the basic four understandings. We need to understand God's the Father. We need to know that God is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Holy Spirit, and we need to know that God's work is the church. These four things, it encompasses all of the Bible. From this focal point, starting from this mystery, God is now expressing all the other things. So as a Christian, if towards this mystery we do not have a basic understanding of it, then oftentimes in our service, without realizing, we have entered into religion. We have entered into Christianity. And this is now just an outward act of religion. There's just some outward piety, or you do some good works, you pay attention to your morality and your character. This has become an outward thing. So many Christians, after being a Christian for so long, we realize, are we any different from anyone else? In Taiwan, I have heard so many churches, some of the elders and deacons, they said, I look at the Buddhist organizations, they're better than us. They didn't even talk about meetings. Brothers and sisters, yes, outwardly, it seems as if what they do seems to be that they have done much better than us. Their morals and their life, it seems to be so much better than us. In the past, there's an elderly brother among us. A lot of people respected him, but then he went into to Buddhism, and everybody was so amazed and surprised. How did he go into Buddhism? Every day he was writing the Buddhist scriptures, and he had this altar there. We went to visit him one time. He completely changed. Why? Because he felt that as Christians, what we do cannot be compared with what Buddhists do. We need to know that the difference is great. And so, Paul, in Colossians and Ephesians, when he talks about the mystery, Paul says, pray for me that I may be able to speak the mystery of Christ clearly. So when we first read Colossians, I said, we thought that Paul was talking about the daily life issues, about our family life, but Paul says, no, I'm speaking of the mystery of Christ. The root begins from the mystery. If it were not so, it's very easy for us to deviate. Take a look at brothers and sisters. Sometimes in fellowship, when we have discussions, what we talk about is human behavior. This person has great love. That person has great sacrifice. When we listen to this, in my heart, I feel sad. Yes, indeed, those people are suffering, but some people suffering, perhaps it's because of their natural personality or just morality. We cannot discern it. We have mixed up the things of heaven and the things of earth. And so in church, in this matter of teaching, in the matter of service of the Lord, there is great confusion. But when you touch Paul, he would never confuse it. He would not confuse it. Why? When you understand this mystery, then you will never have any mixture. And so Paul says, God has allowed him to understand this mystery. Today, we also need to understand the mystery of God. In the book of Ephesians, there are very many important words that talk about this. And so when we read Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 14, we can sense that in God's work, God is using all his that he has to do this work. We need to be very watchful. The church, God is using all his might to do this work. What does it mean? He has not kept, withheld any of his strength because in the universe in order to do this work. Sometimes as I meditate before the Lord, if our God is using all his might to do this work, will he use up all his strength? Because he's used up all his strength? This is the mystery of God. Brothers and sisters, please remember, God is unlimited. When he does anything, he has all strength. Even in the smallest things, he does it with everything. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand this. Let's say, for example, I have pure gold right here. I'm going to cut off a large chunk. It's still pure gold. Let me just scoop out a little bit from it. It's still pure gold. I want to use this so that you can understand, no matter whether God is doing a big thing or a small thing, he is using all strength. He does not withhold anything. This is truly amazing because he is unlimited. Only he can do such a thing. Not like us. We say, oh, this matter is so small. I'm just going to use a little bit of strength and that's good enough. Or when God does something, he wants an angel to do it. Yes, indeed, he does send angels. But when you touch his own matters, he uses all his might. Brothers and sisters, if you can understand this, to us, it's a great blessing. So don't think that you have done a little bit and God is doing a little thing for us. Some of you, perhaps you will know. Miss Munson, her story. In Northern Europe, this was a sister who came to China to work. Before she came, in her hometown, she prayed for 20 years. She asked God to give her gifts. I want to go work. I want to have gifts for you to give me gifts so that I may work for you. She prayed for 20 years. And one day the Lord agreed and says, okay, you want gifts? I am to give you a drop, like a drop of water. And so she was so sad. She was disappointed. She said, Lord, I prayed for 20 years. You give me one drop of gifting? I thought it would be like a large river, a large lake. You only give me one drop of gifting. She was so disappointed. The Lord says, well, do you want it? If you don't want it, I'll take it back. This was her own personal experience. And so she said, okay, fine. If you want to give it to me, if I don't want it, I won't get it. So just give me one drop. And do you know, that one drop of gifting, when she was serving God in China, it brought about the revival of the entire province of Shandong. So if today God is to give us something, brothers and sisters, that one drop is also pure gold. The nature of it will not change. This is our God. So today when you follow the Lord, you need to know this. I feel today that the church on earth, so much of our pursuit is so far from God. We are using worldly ways and worldly intelligence to try to understand God. We look at man instead. Oh, look, this PhD. Oh, this teacher, this professor, this doctor. Or this CEO. We pay attention to outward people. And we elevate these things instead. Brothers and sisters, no wonder the church's condition today is more and more weak. Because the true things of God that have come upon us are too small, too little. Paul tells us here that the work of the Spirit and of the Father, they use all strength, all might. In God's will, He will accomplish it. He will never forsake it. He will not toss it away. We need to have this positive attitude towards God. May the Lord show us grace. We cannot do much. We know that God can only do His own work. But we need to have this attitude of obedience, to positively, actively cooperate with Him. Allow the Holy Spirit to use us who are such small vessels to do the little bit that He wants us to do. And even when we function, it is still His grace upon us. So do you remember in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 16, there's a very wonderful word, according to the great power of this life. God's work is according to the endless life that He has. His life is endless. We think that He is tired and used up everything that He has, but no, that's for man. God is not like that. The more He uses, the more abundant He is. He has unlimited abundance. We thank our God. Think about it. Today, if God opens our eyes, to open up our eyes like Paul, to see, then when you serve God, will you be disappointed? Will you give up? No, because you know that all things are in God's hand. Today, the things and conditions you see with your eyes, we know that God one day will accomplish His work. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, we see that from the beginning, Father, Son, and Spirit, this relationship, this mystery, He has placed it before us to see. we need to come to understand it. That here, what is Paul trying to tell us? In the Bible, these are four great revelations, four great understandings. It encompasses the entire Bible. Now, let's quickly take a look at the work of the Father, Son, and Spirit. There is one verse that brothers and sisters all know, that in the past, for many years, in many places, I have fellowshipped with brothers and sisters. Now, when you read the book of Ephesians, the Lord in the past had given me this burden. At that time, I had this thought that I really need to read the book of Ephesians well, because the brothers who have gone before us have encouraged us that in the Bible, you need to read word by word. Why do I ask you to memorize word by word so that you would not lose one word? Now, my memory is not that good. I have memorized, but I forget. And so I said, okay, word by word, I will read it. And so in the past, before the Lord did open up this book so that I would read it word by word. How would I read it? Now, I'm just going to tell you a little bit of what I've done. I found another three Bible concordance, an interlinear concordance. I want to look at the original text from the language. I also used the Darby Bible. And then a third, the NIV version, not... the Revised English Version. And then there was also a Chinese Bible that I would use outside of the interlinear. I also use a Chinese version. For with these four books, I would open them up. So when I read, I look at the first word, and I would look at all the other three books, three Bibles. What does it mean? And then the Greek, I would look up the meaning of it. Now, this is a study that took a lot of effort. Now, a lot of our time is wasted today. However, if you spend some time to study God's Word in this way, it's very much worth it. It has become great help to me. Brothers and sisters, when I studied in this way, one morning, from 9 a.m. till 12, I could read about at most five verses. And then I have a notebook. All the things that I have thought of and understood and gained, I write it down. It would take me about the entire morning. I would go through only five verses. And in this process of studying from Brother Darby's Bible, I found verse 11. In Chinese, it's difficult to understand the meaning of it. It's very plain in Chinese language. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. I don't know how many times I read it in Chinese, but I never sensed that in this verse there was anything amazing or anything special about it. But brothers and sisters, if you read it in English, perhaps you may not completely understand, but here, when I came to verse 11, Brother Darby's translation, verse 11, my eyes were all of a sudden opened. This verse gave me great light. And so in many years, in many places, particularly in conferences, I have spoken of Ephesians 1:11. What is amazing, this verse has opened up all the main important points of God's work in it. Perhaps you still remember. If you don't remember, we can review it. After translating it in Chinese, I'm going to share it again. At that time, I was so full of joy. I was able to gain this gem, this precious stone from God's word. Such a good verse. It's so strange. We've never encountered this before. Brother Darby, if you read it in English, you have the Darby version. Please do also look at it. But for the sake of time, I'm going to translate it into Chinese for you. Ephesians 1. This is the hidden mystery of our Lord Jesus. This is what it says in the Darby version, 1:11. In whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being marked out beforehand, according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will. The church is not something that has come out of man. It has come out of God's will, God's counsel. It is not yours. It is not mine. The very earliest thought of the church has come from God. Nobody gave him the suggestion either. Not even the angels. The angels could not suggest it. Paul tells us, this is of him who works all things according to his own will, his own counsel. This is not God, man's will. It is God's will. The creator of all the universe, he has a will. He is too great. According to the counsel of his own will, he has made this counsel. He has a counsel. This counsel can also of course, we do know that who was in this council before the creation of the universe? The Father, Son, and Spirit. Here it tells us, he has established his own will. It has gone through his own counsel. Not all of a sudden, oh, he had an idea and that was that. But no, it went through the council, the discussion among the Father, Son, and Spirit. After this council, there was a complete and perfect counsel, perfect plan. Paul used these words to describe it in a way man can understand. When we speak of this council, we do want to thank him with all our heart. If you go back to the beginning, verse 3, when you look at God's work, you and I were all encompassed within this plan and counsel. We are so blessed. We have received great mercy, according to Paul. Our whole life has been planned. There are so many wealthy families, or royal families, noble families. The children, as soon as the children are born, their entire life has been planned out, right? Because it's a glorious plan. Today it's hard for us to understand, but God has also placed us within his plan, his counsel. We are so small. It is not only for Christ, for his son, it is also for us. And so, brothers and sisters, after all these many years, I do feel that the church far surpasses all of this. We need to, in our spirit, have this understanding and seeing. If you can understand it in this way, we can live in safety and in peace. You do not need to worry because all things are in his plan. It is so good. If you look at the hymns that saints have written, all things are in his hand. All things are in his control. We cannot understand how wonderful it is. I cannot go on more about it. And then, now that he has had a counsel of his own will, now he has a purpose. This has gone through his great plan and counsel. Our almighty God, he has made a perfect purpose, and now he has this goal and purpose. Now, his purpose is only one. Because he has said it. It has gone through his perfect wisdom. He will not compromise, and it will never be changed. Brothers and sisters, when you follow the Lord, you can only follow according to his will. Why is it that in these aspects, there are people who give us strict instructions? You cannot go, against these principles of what God has set, God has purposed. Otherwise, you will lose out. A lot of people in the church, they want to change God's purpose and God's goal. This is a very important reminder for us today. I say again, God has set out according to the purpose. He has marked out beforehand. He has already marked out beforehand and chosen us. After he has set his plan, his counsel, now he's going to work, and he'll work according to his purpose. This is the Father's work. If you read the verses prior to this, the Father is the one who begins this work. He has done the work of choosing. Now our salvation, he has already chosen us because he foreknew us, predestined us. This is a great choosing. Every time I think about this, about the choosing of God, even though we are so corrupt and fallen, in the Bible, not only has he chosen Paul, Paul felt that he himself was also a fallen. Even do you remember Lazarus, a person who's full of leprosy, this lame person? God has chosen him. There's all sorts of people in the church today. God has chosen all of us. Our Father is Almighty God. He is the one who can change man. This choosing is so that we can become his sons, to be holy and blameless. He has ability. So he has marked us out beforehand according to his purpose, who works all things. That is how he began in Genesis. The Father began his work in Genesis to work. And in this work, we need to know there's some important points of his work. First, God created. He created all things. He has created all things. After man fell, then we know that there is a work of redemption. Not only is there a work of redemption, but now there is this work of transformation through his discipline in us. And then lastly, there is a work of unity. All things will be united as one. And then another important work, there will be the work of judgment. Now in the Bible, we read all of this from the Old Testament on. All of these things are within it. From the work of redemption all the way to the work of judgment today, we can call this a work of recovery. God is doing this work of recovery. That is why we talk about the road of recovery, the work of recovery. If you do not understand recovery, how can we have things recovered? It encompasses all of these important aspects. And so, brothers and sisters, we thank our Lord that in all things, he is doing this work. So we are those who have been pre-trusted in Christ. Now we know, of course, there is a spiritual meaning within it. We have been. Why is it that when we speak of Christians, that we know, we need to know that we have a commission? We are those who have received an entrustment. All of Christianity today, we don't talk about this anymore. We only talk about believe in the Lord Jesus and go to heaven. One day, When you go to heaven to enjoy, people just tell people this. This is too shallow. Brothers and sisters, we need to know we have been chosen and called because of God's purpose. Now, because of God's purpose, we have purpose and we live for His reason. This is our commission. And in this commission, it needs to be true. If you have read Paul's words in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit opens up our eyes, then we will know that as a Christian, it is such a glorious matter. And so today, God wants to establish His church. It is such a great matter. Today, we see that the enemy is doing this work of destruction so that man's lusts and desires, ambition and desires have brought great tribulation and corruption to the church. We sense that the church outwardly, it seems as if it is just cold and shallow. But today, the Lord wants to do this work of recovery. This has to do with the testimony of our Lord Jesus. And so even if today the condition is all desolation, through knowing the work of God, and we are able to once again recover God's work, it will cause His heart to be so full of joy. So as we continue on in the few remaining days, whether it's individual or in our church life, do not allow it to be a very common thing. Through knowing God's will, even though we are in difficulties, personally we have problems and corporately we may have challenges, but may we press on. And in this, before the Lord will reward us for it. So here today, brothers and sisters, through Ephesians 1, I just want to give you a very basic outline. I haven't even talked about the work of the Father, Son, and Spirit, but just a general outline. May we come to see. This is what Apostle Paul wants us to see. In God's work. What kind of work is it? That in God's mystery, what exactly is God doing here? And so in Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 1, there's a great prayer. Why is there a prayer? It is because Paul knows that only through the Holy Spirit, when He reveals this to us, opens up the eyes of our hearts, can we see it. It is not something that you know it in your mind as a reason or logic. May the Spirit of God lead us. I say again, in our daily lives, when you follow the anointing, follow the Spirit, it is very, very important. From here, it can spread out and come into understanding all the things that occur around you, and you will know why it happens. May He show us mercy. Through God's mystery of what Paul has revealed to us, may we have a very clear and bright seeing and understanding. Then this will indeed bring about a great change in our church life and in our service. Now the time has already come. I apologize. I cannot go into more detail. We will leave it for next time. If the Lord allows, from Ephesians chapter 1. From all that Paul has written, in these sections, between it, let's pull out some of the important words and have some fellowship on it, so that we may have a true and clear and more complete seeing of what is God's mystery. Now, Ephesians 1 talks about the mystery of the gospel, and that has to do with us. This is my sharing today. Now, our time has come. Let us have a time of prayer. So, brothers and sisters, according to the leading of the Spirit, if in your heart you have the burden and sense, do lead us in a short prayer. As we conclude, we'll ask our brothers and sisters to lead us to conclude in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your great counsel and will that has come upon us, that now guides our entire life. May we walk upon it and not walk on any other path. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you as we hear of how before the creation of the world, you have had such a will. Lord, how can we imagine that we ourselves, we have already been predestined to be placed into your will? Lord, we do bow our heads to worship you. Lord, whether or not we are useful or not useful, Lord, all of this is so important before you. May our entire plan of our lives, Lord, it is so important for you. As we hear of how we have been encompassed within your will, may we have a response. Lord, may we respond to you and your will. Have mercy on us. From small things, may we walk upon this sure path so that we'd be useful vessels in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, Lord, in your great will, our hearts truly want to bow down and worship you. Lord, we do pray before you towards your Spirit. May we be able to obey you more and quickly obey and submit to you. May we practice, may your Spirit reveal more of your will in our hearts so that we would truly be able to enter into your will. We thank you in your precious name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank and praise you. Thank you for once again give us your precious word. You want us to understand and to know that in this evil and corrupt world, allow us to be as bright shining stars and live in your will, so that before the people of this world, so that people may come see our Lord Jesus, so that the souls of this world, through the newness of life, be able to show Christ forth. We give you all glory and sing hallelujah. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, according to your will, do gain us so that we would not just run in vain. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, our meeting will conclude here.